Hi, everyone. Welcome to Evoke Therapy Program's broadcast. My name is Dr. Brad Reedy. I'm the clinical director and co-founder of the program. Today's November 13th, 2019. So we thought we would talk about a topic I've actually never really talked about around the holidays, specifically the triggers and emotional dysregulation that can happen around holidays. I think the thing that's most interesting to me about this subject is that it is our expectation going into it at times that contribute to this dysregulation, this expectation that everything should feel a certain way for all of us. And it's not a small idea. It's not an idea that people aren't aware of, that during the holidays that a lot of people experience depression and mood swings and anxiety. So I'm going to talk about that tonight. I thought I'd start off with some quotes, some ideas. This first one is just an overview. The holidays are ripe for regression. They are elevator days when people, history, family roles, and expectations all come together to gather for a perfect storm and create situations where our coping can be compromised. So one of the themes tonight is going to be gentle with yourselves. And maybe more than any other time, self-care is necessary. I think because of an ethic that many of us have that gets heightened around the holidays, around giving, being there for other people and giving, that our idea around self-care gets especially challenged. So it's important. And really what we know is that when we're unable to be there for others in a loving and compassionate way, that can be directly tied to, in many ways, to lack of self-care, to lack of healthy boundaries. I saw this quote recently that I really like. Your emotional growth and evolution will often expose the emotional immaturity of your parents or other family members for that matter. You know, that can apply to your children too, right? As they grow, it can expose some areas where you need to grow. I think for those of you who attend broadcasts like this, you're on board with that. You know that you need to grow and develop capacity to be there for your struggling children, but also to be there for your children if you want to grow along with them. But this can be true of a lot of other family members. Many of you have the experience that as you've grown in this process, and I don't even need to tell you this, but for those of you who haven't heard it, many of you have this experience where as you've grown, as a result of going through this process with your child, that if you show up in your new way of being, of relating, of listening authentically, that it's going to expose the emotional immaturity of those around you, right? It's going to be difficult for them. When we show up in our families, it's true of all of us, and it takes great effort and practice to get free and clear of this. We show up and people expect us to fit into the box that we used to fit in, right? To be the person that we used to be. It's why, and we sometimes regress to that level. It's why you can see your spouse, for example, around his or her family, and you'll often have the experience of, who is this person? You sound like a child. The way you interact with your siblings or your parents looks a lot younger and less mature. That's because there are triggers for regression. There are certain ways that they hold you, that they see you, that they treat you, that they expect you to be. And it's difficult to get out of that story, out of that idea. I wrote a blog last year, and I reshared it just recently on social media on my own website. I didn't share it on the Evoke website because I thought it might be controversial for some. And I really don't think that it is. But here's the last paragraph. I talk about the idea about why you might not be best for you to go to home for Thanksgiving or for the holidays. And here's what I wrote in the closing paragraph. So we go home if it welcomes us, all of us. Or we go home if we want to see our family with new eyes. We go home and come into contact with a younger version of ourselves. We go home to celebrate or remember. Or we go home because we think it is the right thing to do and guilt prevents us from staying away. In the end, I hope that if you do go home, that you find that you, all of you, is welcome. And if you need therapeutic permission not to go home and instead spend your holidays with others who love you and value you, consider this your doctor's note. In the end, as a therapist, I invite you to explore all of your feelings, and perhaps this may also allow some gratitude to come through on a day and at a time of the year which we are often told what to think. So what I'm going to talk about today is getting out of that box that we've placed ourselves in, that we've placed others in, and that others place us in, and why that box of expectation and roles can be triggering. I love this quote from Ram Dass. He says, "If you think you're enlightened, go spend a week with your family." This goes back to that idea of being kind with yourself, right? Understanding that everybody has triggers. Nobody is all capable, all powerful, immune from these issues. And the more kind you view yourself, actually the better that you do. This is one of the greatest, I think, mysteries of mental health healing and recovery. We really do try to hate ourselves out of, be angry with ourselves out of our mental health issues, right? We do things that are stupid, maladaptive, unhealthy, unkind. Pick your adjective to describe the unwanted behavior. We do those things and then we get frustrated, angry with ourselves. We hate that part of us or the way that we showed up. My thought this holiday season, 2019, is to just see what love would do. What if you were to hold that behavior and the feelings of inadequacy and fear and insecurity that lie beneath it? What if you were to hold that behavior and those feelings with love and compassion and understanding and not turn away in disgust and shame? I say to clients when I'm doing some of our intensive workshops, I say in this spirit of invitation, I say, let's try love for a change. Not liking it hasn't worked so far, so let's try love for a little while. Let's talk about what emotional dysregulation is. Emotional dysregulation refers to an emotional response responses that are poorly modulated outside acceptable norms. It's important to understand that it can be triggered, of course, by current traumas, but we become more raw or susceptible because of past traumas. That's true of all of us in all situations. And the less we have unwound and resolved our own traumas, the more we're going to respond in this from this kind of trauma brain, this trauma response. There's a phrase in Al-Anon that says, if it's hysterical, it's historical. So they're saying, if you seem to be overreacting by your own measure, overreacting to the situation, and all of us can relate to that, then there's something bigger, some bigger context that it's tapping into. Disorders that are associated with emotional dysregulation are reactive attachment disorder, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, autism spectrum disorder, bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder, or PTSD. So those are just some, and there can be others that are associated, that emotional dysregulation would be a hallmark, a signal of that disorder. Sensitivity to emotional stimuli or triggers can result in this heightened state, and it's more difficult and takes more time to return to a baseline level for those who struggle with emotional dysregulation. Angry outbursts, destroying or throwing objects, aggression towards self or others, suicide threats, self-harm, and I put on here overt or covert forms, and I started to think about the amount of alcohol consumption that happens around the holidays for many people and many families. And while we might not think of alcohol as suicidal or overeating as suicidal, it is medicine. Right? It's medicine that might work temporarily, but if not modulated, if not paid attention to, if not brought into consciousness, can be, of course, destructive and damaging to us. I've seen so many things in the media. I see it not just in social media, but actually from self-help gurus about this idea that we have got to decide on whether mental health or mental illness is from the given or the made. And I there's this energy to create this false dichotomy, this unnecessary binary. In virtually all areas, it's never all of one thing or the other. It would be silly to think. One of the discussions that's happening these days is around addiction. Is it a disease? Or is it the result of trauma? And the fact of the matter, it's both. Everybody has a predisposition, some level to which they are predisposed to certain behaviors or disorders. Think about addiction as the one we're talking about right now. Think about emotional dysregulation. And then the introduction of stress to that person triggers that disorder, that disordered thinking. So the higher your predisposition, the less stress that you need. And the lower your predisposition, the more stress is created. So it's a combination of both. And that's why the discussion is silly. There's a quote that's going around that talks about how addiction is not, it's a disease and not a parenting problem. Well, can it be both? Can it be that it is a disease that we can study and look at and see? And can it also be triggered by environment? I talk about this all the time. This is one of my favorite recent discoveries, and it is this. Curing your codependency will not cure your children's addiction. Period. And if you have a child that has gone through our program that needed this level of care, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a higher or unique variation of codependency. There are lots of families with children where parents are very codependent and children don't raise their self-medicating to a clinical level. Happens all the time. I see it all the time in my community, in my social circles. But the solution to the effects of the codependent relationship is what the child is medicating. I'll say that again. The solution, right? Drinking, drugging, cutting, whatever it is in part, medicating against the trauma, some of which has come from the codependent relationship, from the lack of differentiation. So it's not one or the other, it's both. And if we are to stop our contribution to the cycle, then we heal. But we don't then enter this kind of, we don't enter this idea that it's solved, that just because we get healthy, our children, there's this insidious idea in mental health treatment these days. I read it in two sources today where people were implying that if you get better, your child will get better. No, not true. That's just another way of blaming you, right? Of making you the cause to the effect. The fact of the matter is if you get better, you get better. And if you get better, you stop contributing as you were before to the problem. You stop dancing with the disorder. You stop participating in it or with it. So we can be more complex than these sound bites, than these quotes that we see from self-help gurus. And we can understand our contribution. We can walk past the guilt and the shame and understand what we do. So I'm going to talk about family events, holidays, things that happen around the holidays, and what we may or may not do to contribute to the issues. First of all, like I said, the first thing on this list is be kind to yourself. I can't stress it enough, and it's counterintuitive. And I deal with professionals who are afraid that if they are kind to themselves around their mental health issues, let alone lay people, right, clients. I talk to professionals, and they're afraid if they're kind to themselves around their mental health issues that it's going to be lawlessness, that it's going to get worse. And frankly, it does get worse sometimes for a short period of time. But in the end, it's the only thing that heals us. Hate and rage at ourselves and anger and disgust at ourselves only prevent awareness. I remember I had I was sitting with a mother who was considering our program, and I was sitting with another, with a colleague, and the mother was telling us the story. And she had gone through a really high conflict divorce, famously high conflict divorce in her community, she said. And she knew that there was a tremendous amount of trauma that was inflicted on the children because of this. And she said, you know, I went to my therapist and I told my therapist, I think it's, you know, the cause of my daughter's mental health disorder is the divorce and the way that we did it. And my therapist reassured me that it wasn't. that my daughter's accountable. And I said, I brought back in this idea of both and, right? The dialectical idea that seemingly opposite things can be true. And I said, what if you were a part of it? What if you absolutely, you and your ex did contribute to it? Is that okay to consider? And does that prevent then the ability to set a boundary? Right? The problem with this binary idea of I'm either 100% the problem or I'm not the problem at all is that parents don't know how to do that. We struggle with accountability. We struggle with overcoming our shame and our guilt to look at ourselves honestly enough because we don't know how to set a boundary if it doesn't come from that place. If I recognize my contribution to the problem, then I can't really hold my child accountable or set a boundary. That is not true at all. As we grow in this process, we learn. We can say, I know. I know I've done things to dent my children. Absolutely. And now my children are dented. And now the dents are theirs. Right? They have to work on them. And I'm going to set boundaries and I'm going to have accountability around that because that's where I am. Observe the stress level around the holidays. Consider making different decisions. One of the reasons why the holidays are so difficult is we don't know how to get out of these patterns, these rituals, these expectations, these societal norms, these familial norms, right? We feel like we have no choice. That's why I said in my blog post, go home if it's the right thing to do and you can't not do it because of guilt, if that's what you want to do. But then watch and observe how you feel. I say this, I strive for what I'm about to say. I aspire to this. That if my children wanted to cut me out of their lives, my adult children wanted to cut me out of their lives because they felt that my presence was toxic to them, I would support them 10 out of 10 times. I would support clients if they said, being around my mother or my father or my brother or my sister is toxic. I would say, you have permission not to be around them. I'm not suggesting that we run away from all of our problems. I'm suggesting that we don't have to try to make something work that doesn't work. And so many of us that come from abusive situations in families are really good at making things work that don't work. Consider your expectations, right? Expectations are the biggest predictor of satisfaction of an experience. I mean, that makes sense, right? What you expect going in, and there is no other time of the year besides celebrations, specifically holiday celebrations. There's no other time of the year that our expectations aren't high, right? We expect it to be the Norman Rockwell happy family moment, right? Where everybody's going to be experiencing gratitude and joy. And that's not always the case. So we give room for authenticity. We give room for people that are struggling with mood disorders. Watch for regression with yourself. Again, not liking or being angry at yourself because you regress and act like a 16-year-old kid again doesn't work. I know it's what we were taught works. Hate the sin and love the sinner and all, but it doesn't work. Hating it doesn't work. So watch for it. Observe it. Be kind to it. What's it trying to tell you? I love the idea of going home and watching the holidays through the new eyes. I love that idea. When I tell that to children, when they're going home to visit their parents of any age, not just young children, but children that are in their 30s and 40s, go home with the new eyes, with the work that you've done, and watch things. And people will often, in fact, almost always come back to me and say, was it always this bad? Was it always like that? And my response is, I'm sure it was, or worse. And a lot of people go back and confront in a healthy way, confront that old context and say, I feel differently. I'm different now. This is what I believe or what I'm doing in my life. We've sent our son or our daughter to wilderness and we're learning this thing. And this is how it is right now. And I don't want you to give me advice. And I need support. We start to communicate. And if we have a family that has the ability to grow, they'll adjust to that. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we get dismissed. Sometimes we it's not safe. And then we get to decide how we're going to deal with that. Watch for regression for yourself and others. I put this on here. You know, I think we underestimate alcohol consumption in these events. There's a lot of alcohol consumption during the holidays. And it lowers one's inhibitions, but also lowers their level of emotional functioning and maturity. Even one or two drinks. And so while somebody's not inebriated, their patience, their bandwidth, emotional bandwidth or tolerance is reduced. They can be reactive. They can be more easily dysregulated or triggered. Or they can become more triggering to other people in the family. When I talk about new eyes, look at your family with these new eyes and see, look at the shame and the guilt. Look at the differentiation. Differentiation is the term that refers to the blend of connectedness and separateness, the balance. So look at all of that. Watch for overdoing it and overspending, right? There's sometimes this sense that we have to make everything wonderful for everybody, and that can cause financial stress and strain, and even just energy strain. Give yourself and others permission to practice boundaries, to say no, to not arrive. You know, it's not an effortless process for sure. But my belief, my experience is that if my children need to be somewhere else, that's okay. Now, what I believe about that is that if I honor them in that way, then they'll want to be around more. But if they need to or have to out of duty or obligation, then it won't be a safe place. I might get their presence at time, but I won't get all of them. Because it's not okay in that box that I've just created with expectations. It's not okay for them to be them. And like I said earlier, self-care is not a sin. And learn to see others and where they're at and how they might be struggling. We talk about rituals around holidays. We also talk about it in family systems theory, family therapy. Create rituals that are meaningful and honor each other's belief systems. You know, there was a story years ago where I had a client and the parent was saying to one of the children to try to make a point, this is our value system, this is our family's values. And the child said, that's your values. Those are parental values. They're not my values. Right? And as children grow up, they might have a different value system or belief system, and we can disagree with it, not like it. Can we honor it? Can we understand it? Can we make room for it? It might not be okay for you. If it feels harmful or abusive, of course. Co-create rituals and empower others, specifically children, if there's something else that they want to do, something unique that they want to do. Talk about the rituals, what you want to do as a family. My wife has created the ritual lately that's new to our family, which is for her birthday. She doesn't want stuff. She wants us to go volunteer at the local children's daycare. So we do that. And the kids love it. They're on board and they have a wonderful time. Consider changing old rituals that don't make sense anymore, right? That's the courage of getting out of it. It's so hard to do that. Let's talk a little bit about Evoke, what we do. First of all, we provide traditional holiday meals. And we allow everybody to celebrate the holidays that they believe in, that where they come from, their family's religion idea. We ask them to share and to teach it. So it just means more holidays. It's a time where we celebrate and appreciate family. I always talk about this idea too, that there's a grief that happens. That's just grief and loss around the holidays when your child is not there, if they're out of Oak or if they're somewhere else even. That's a real thing. It's not bad or good. It just is a loss. And what I talk about specifically at Evoke is we know that 2019 is going to be a season of loss. And we're really investing in 2020 and beyond. Right? That those holidays will be wonderful. A lot of parents will talk about the idea that they have this dual idea that they miss their child around the holidays, but it wasn't that great last time. You know, or just before they left, it wasn't that great. So, you know, therapy is just a welcoming of all of you. And we believe with all of you will come healing, right? It is when we try not to be who we are, try not to feel what we feel, that we develop diagnoses, issues. Letters and groups for home are a part of it, making things for you. We talk about the path of leading away from home, right? If there are decisions that you can make, some of it's not a decision, right? There's both. But if there are decisions that you're making that are leading you away from home, let's talk about those. You say you want to be home, but you weren't home last time you were home. You were heading away from home. And it's really an intense time in the pro. I think winter and the holidays is like the best time. I used to sort of joke about the idea that if I ever sent one of my children to wilderness, it'd be in the winter during the holidays. Well, it came to pass. My son, when I sent him, he left on the day before Halloween. So he was away for Halloween, Thanksgiving, the December holidays, New Year's, and even his birthday, which is in the first part of January. So, it really came to pass. But it's a time to, it's just like the rest of the season, the rest of the year, only more. It's like we've turned up the volume on the lessons. Plan for future holidays, that goes to that 2020 and beyond. We ask each of the students that they have a different belief system to share their family traditions and beliefs with the group. I like this motto for grieving. Somebody told me one time when things have changed, when there's a loss. Some things will be the same and some will be different. And then that will be true this year. I hope it's helpful. And I hope, again, above all, that you can be kind to yourself and that you can develop the courage and the capacity to look at your mistakes and your own issues without the layers of guilt and shame that you were told that you must feel in these circumstances. And that in building that capacity and that emotional and psychological bandwidth, that you'll have more for others, more kindness. I really see a powerful relationship between the ability to see yourself and your limitations with compassion, and then to see others like your children with their limitations and their defenses with compassion. And I want to say one more thing before I turn it over to live questions. You're welcome to submit live questions any time now. But it's a thought that's loosely related to the topic tonight, but I've been thinking about it. I was talking to my 26-year-old son last night. And among other things, we were talking about therapy. I think I've told you that we all, in our family, we all go to therapy. I go to therapy. My children go to therapy. And my son was struggling around therapy about if it was working for him or not. And I said, have you told your therapist that it's not working for you? And he said, no. And I said, you could try and see how they respond. I think telling a therapist that you don't like what's going on is the best way to find out if you, I think I said this on Monday night's broadcast, it's the best way to find out if you have an adequate therapist. And if they spin it around and make it about you, they're not adequate. If they're not able to apologize and ask for help in doing it better, if they're not able to do that, then you might not have an adequate therapist. And here's the kind of gold of it. I said to him, when you were younger, I did that to you. I made you the problem. I've done it later in life also, not as frequently, but I've done it later in life. And so, of course, you don't have any expectation that if you confront an authority figure, even if you do it in an assertive and kind way, what confidence do you have, what experience do you have that they're just going to own it and apologize? Perhaps the simplest thing that my therapist has taught me over the years is that idea about apologizing. So the risk in talking to your therapist about what they are or aren't doing is that they're going to respond the way that your parents or other authority figures have. And here's the more to it. If you go to therapy and you practice with an adequate therapist having that discussion and they respond well, then you can go out in the world with more confidence in being who you are, because you know if someone gets upset with you about your truth, how you feel and what you think, what you want and need, and I'm not talking about being cruel about it, but just being assertive about it, then you know that if people have a bad reaction to that, it's not about you. That's what therapy is. I said to my two older children in the last couple of days, it's not about being in a crisis. It's not about problem solving. We go to therapy to find a new context. And then when we go back for the holidays, I'll tie them back into the holidays. When we go back to the holidays, we can see our parents and see their limitations, see our brothers and sisters, see their limitations, and we won't take them on. And hopefully we'll have kindness and compassion for those. But we won't allow their limitations to get in us, right? To make us feel bad. We'll do it less and less and less. All right, I'm happy to take any questions, any comments, questions. I'll go to upcoming topics, and then I'll come back to the questions. Parent support group, the next one will be December 1st in the South Bay, Southern California. So if you're in the Los Angeles, Southern California area, it's on a Sunday. We usually do it either out in the valley or far away from the coast, but we're going to do it this time on the coast. We've been invited there. So December 1st, limited space available. Please RSVP to melanie@evoketherapy.com, December 1st, Sunday. If you want to do a deep dive into your own work, we have Finding You intensives coming up. The next one, I don't usually do Finding You anymore. I only do Finding You and custom ones. So I am doing the December Finding You. That's the one for any adult individuals. So if you're interested or you know somebody, I'll be running that one. Our 2020 dates are January 8th, February 19th, March 4th. You can go to our website to look at all those. Pursuit trips are our trips for families and young adults. Think Sober Fun or Therapy Light. Adventure activities all around the world. A few days to 30 days. We ask all current parents to attend 6 12-step support groups. Any combination of Al-Anon, CODA, Families Anonymous. Adult Children is a nice one. Alateen is for teens. Refuge Recovery is a Buddhist-inspired recovery program. Less of an emphasis on a higher power. You can also go to NAMI.org for classes and resources in your local area. Follow all of these broadcasts through the podcast app on an iPhone. Use the podcast app. On an Android device, use the SoundCloud app. Or you can just go to your computer and use SoundCloud.com. On Twitter and Instagram, follow us for announcements, inspiring stories and links and photographs. You can find Evoke Therapy programs using the handle @EvokeTherapy on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find the Summit Lodge. That's our intensive program. On Instagram using Evoke Summit Lodge. On Facebook, find us by searching Evoke Therapy Programs. The Alumni Foundation, they're looking for new board members. If you have an interest in participating in a board that raises money to help people who can't afford therapy, that's what the Alumni Foundation is about. So go to the foundation Facebook site by searching Evoke Family Foundation. Our blog has new information. The Journey of the Heroic Parent, my book, is available on Amazon. Or Audible. Any other live questions before I wrap up this evening? Looks like that's all for this evening. I will let you know about the upcoming webinar, send out an announcement for it tomorrow. So thank you for joining me this evening. I hope this is a helpful point of contact. Have a full holiday season. And for and on behalf of your child, I thank you for your attendance at these. There's a couple of questions that have just come in, actually. Somebody said, I remember being so hurt that my father-in-law did not include my daughter in his Thanksgiving prayer while my daughter was in wilderness. If that happened now, I would ask him to include her. I've learned to ask for what I need. Absolutely beautiful. Do teens ever return to Evoke for a period? Absolutely. Yeah. They can come back. They can come back for a refresher. They can come back for a weekend. Talk to your Evoke therapist. The Evoke therapist, if your Evoke therapist is not with us anymore, you can send an email to me, brad@evoketherapy.com, for more information about that and to explore that. So, all right, folks, thanks to you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your work that you do for your children. I know it makes a difference, and I know they appreciate it and can see it and feel it. Take care, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Bye.